Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet. Good afternoon and welcome to the premiere of Starseed Radio. It's March 20th, 2010, and we are broadcasting this show during the spring equinox. I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. For most of her life, Lavendar has been a contact of a benevolent race of beings from the Pleiades star system and has been working with them directly for over 25 years. She knew that one of her assignments was to be a scribe, keeping a journal about ET experiments, projects, and her experiences with them. These journals were locked in a bank vault with a Pleiadian directive to hold the information for a future generation. Taking her responsibility very seriously, she waited quietly for their signal to release her journals, and now is the time. The first chapter to be released is her discovery of star markings, which was the result of a 3.5-year Pleiadian demonstration. This astonishing discovery would be the key to understanding ET timing, their experiments, their choices of people, and their starseed offspring. As a matter of fact, it was Lavendar who first used the term starseed in the 70s. Over a series of broadcasts here on Blog Talk Radio, she'll be sharing chapters from her journals of firsthand experiences with the Pleiadians. During her years of recording information about her assignments, she often found herself a conduit of guidance between the Pleiadians and many high-profile people, including celebrities, politicians, and numerous key people on the planet, helping them navigate their missions here. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Lavendar.
Thank you, Ariel. I'm Lavendar, and today we're honored to have one of those people as our guest, Mr. Jeff Peckman, who's the author and chief proponent of the historic ballot initiative campaign to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in Denver, Colorado, which is the first of its kind. His television appearances include David Letterman, Larry King, Geraldo, Fox News, with radio and magazine coverage just too numerous to mention. When I first heard about Jeff's work, I instantly saw the big picture and knew I was here to help him. After you hear his impressive story about his mission, I'm sure you'll want to know how you can help too, and there are several ways he can suggest. But before we introduce Mr. Peckman, Ariel has a web address that you'll want to explore, and we'll be giving it to you again at the end of the show. Or just go to our website, starseedhotline.com, and click on Headline News banner on the main page, which will take you where you can find all the links mentioned on our show.
Thanks, Lavendar. The official website for the ballot initiative is extracampaign.org, where you'll find a multitude of relevant articles and this mission statement. The Extra Campaign is dedicated to ensuring the health, safety, and welfare of human beings in relation to interactions with extraterrestrial beings and to creating peaceful, harmonious, and mutually beneficial relationships between all beings in the universe. Our aim is to provide information that leads to knowledge that in turn leads to wisdom and respect for all species and cultures on Earth and beyond. And now, Starseed Radio is honored to introduce this courageous man, Mr. Jeff Peckman. I'd like to start with a little about your background and previous ballot initiative experience.
Yes, this is the third time I've done a ballot initiative. And I'll talk a little bit about that process in a couple of minutes. But my previous experience, well, first I'll go back to the background. I've been seeking solutions to global problems since I was in elementary school. And this was the result of being informed by a classmate on the playground that I was only using 1/10 of my brain. Now, I'm sure that that's about the time that the psychologist began to speak about that topic of people only using a small percentage of their full mental potential. But I took it very personally. I'm sure that I responded in a very hostile way because I thought it was directed entirely to me. But so right there on the spot, I just sort of took it on myself. I vowed to develop my full potential in whatever way I could, and I really did not know how to start doing that. But also I saw the connection between that limited potential being lived and enjoyed and major problems in the world, or even small problems on the playground, cruelty and disrespect and that sort of thing. And then on a much larger scale, wars, nuclear proliferation, the Vietnam War, that was all happening at about that time. So I just vowed to do what I could to develop my full human potential and to apply myself to find solutions to the most pressing problems facing humanity. And so I just started doing different things. But one other very interesting pivotal experience was listening to a story by a friend of mine who described what sounded like a very eccentric group of people who would find very perfect conditions up in the mountains near a body of water that were just, you know, weather-wise, it was just about the time that the lakes, the ponds were starting to freeze. And they would sneak up on that body of water just very quietly, probably in the early morning, and they would place a tiny seed crystal of ice into the water, and then they would just watch. They would wait, and they would watch, and they would listen, and suddenly that seed crystal would start to expand and crystallize the surface of the water in all directions throughout the entire body of water as far as they could see, and it would make this magnificent sound, this crackling sound, as it just flowed out. And so those two things really guided my life since then. And when I began to hear about different problems, not knowing really what to do to bring the attention of the masses to those problems and to find a solution, at one point I became acquainted with the ballot initiative process. It was actually the election of 1998. And there was another ballot initiative going on, getting a lot of publicity. And this was something that was only affecting hog farms in eastern Colorado, and yet it was front page news and full page debates about this, you know, hog farm regulation. And so I thought, well, now that's something that I can do, because it's targeting a very specific problem, it's trying to find a single solution, and it's taking that directly to the people and bypassing the legislators. So I took upon myself at that moment when I saw that to develop some ballot initiatives myself. The first one that I did was called Measure 27 in the year 2002 in Oregon. And it was a statewide initiative to require labeling of genetically engineered food or genetically modified organisms applied to food and agriculture. And this was a great concern and still is, because there's an unnaturalness to that and there are inherent hazards, both known and suspected hazards related to genetically modifying food in an unnatural way. And so that created a huge amount of debate and discussion about this, and it was just, you know, all over Oregon, and people were rallying around this, all the major environmental organizations and agricultural organizations. And of course, the opposition, the corporate farms, agribusiness, these global corporations were, you know, the opponents to this. So they were very concerned. So that was my start. Then I did another one in Denver in 2003, the next year, that was called Safety Through Peace. And that was to introduce to the general population research that had been done for a couple of decades that indicated that how stress can grow within a community, within a society, can build up just like it have all these stress-related problems. For an individual, it can be poor health, you know, disruption of a marriage, of work, of just happiness and quality of life. On a societal scale, it can translate into increased drug abuse and alcohol abuse, all kinds of substance abuse, domestic violence, you know, violence against children, you know, hospital admissions, accidents, crimes of all kinds. So there are ways to reduce society-wide stress, and when you do that, then all those stress-related social indicators also decrease across the board, just as when you can relieve the stress in an individual, suddenly marriage gets better, life in general gets better, work, you know, all those personal things, health, many aspects of health. So that also created a great amount of discussion and arguments on both sides of the issue, but it engaged the public. It engaged the public. And so this strategy of using ballot initiatives to target specific problems with a very specific solution is something that is very deep in our history and within the Constitution. It really has its roots in we the people having the First Amendment, the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And that's used by many cities and states, probably 10,000 cities and counties around the country and 20 or 30 states, to allow citizens, we the people, to create ordinances, create statutes, constitutional amendments, charter amendments, local ordinances, and to use those and to petition, to collect signatures, to put that statute or amendment or ordinance on the ballot for a vote by the people, bypass the lawmakers, and in a sense take on that role of lawmakers as ourselves, and to introduce very progressive kinds of legislation. And in some states, women got the right to vote as a result of ballot initiatives. Child labor laws were passed. Various kinds of worker protection laws were passed through the ballot initiative process because the legislators were not progressive enough, not visionary enough, not forward-thinking enough to do this themselves amidst all the kinds of special interest influences that they had. So this current ballot initiative is to create an extraterrestrial affairs commission in the city of Denver as a Denver ordinance, and this would essentially be a citizens task force to take on the role of disclosing to the masses, to the public, what is known about visitation by extraterrestrial intelligent beings and their vehicles, to share that with the public, and to initiate the discussion that will become the foundation for more full disclosure, for open contact with these extraterrestrial races, for consideration of the risks and benefits of that interaction, and just to bring ourselves, make ourselves ready for that contact so that we can become part, conscious part of our larger galactic and intergalactic family. So that's a kind of a summary of where I've come from and what brought me to this point with this ballot initiative in Denver.
Well, that's just such a wonderful way of putting the law back into the hands of the people who are supposed to be the majority rulers anyway. So I read in August of 2008, AOL did a poll revealing that 93% of the people believe that there is intelligent life beyond the Earth, and 81% think we've been visited by those beings. I'd like to point out that belief implies faith in something intangible, and the term UFO believer has carried the brand of kook in our society. And now I think it's more accurate to say UFO acknowledger because of the undeniable substantiation by so many high-profile people. It's no longer a matter of belief, but rather acceptance. Now, who are some of these leading whistleblowers that you know of?
Well, certainly Dr. Edgar Mitchell, astronaut. I believe he's the sixth astronaut to walk on the moon. There have actually been, I've understood, 25 different astronauts in their various missions in space that have seen craft that was obviously not human-made, not from Earth. There are generals, General Lovkin. The Disclosure Project has a long list of these people. They are top-ranking military officers. Robert Salas wrote a book visiting his nuclear missile base in North Dakota. There are other government contractors. Carol Rosen, who was in the government contractors, as one of those government contractors, she worked very closely with Wernher von Braun, who detailed the sequence of how the government would continue to have these fear-based projects, whether it was against communism, terrorism, asteroids, invasion of of aliens, you know, alien invasion, that sort of thing. And they're all coming out with this information that, in fact, yes, we have been visited. There is a government cover-up. This is well known. And really, it's time to step past that deception and denial and just get on with the truth and to look into the benefits of contact and interaction with these extraterrestrial races. And I think it's time, simply because, you know, we are ready. Many of us are ready. Some will never be ready. But I can't think of any time in the history of our planet where everybody was ready for the same thing at the same time, some new paradigm shift, some
right.
new reality, some new discovery. And so you have to start somewhere, and there's no evidence that the state or federal government is starting anywhere. So we're starting in Denver with this, and it is becoming more accepted to talk about this, and the ballot initiative process will actually legitimize that discussion everywhere, in every business, in every civic organization, every school classroom, because it's no longer just a fringe topic that can be ridiculed. Now this is a law that the people are going to vote on. They take their vote seriously. They are as serious as jurors in a jury trial when their decision could impact the life of an individual or justice in general. And so in that context of a vote on this issue, there will be just a lot of discussion in places and by people who have never done this before. They've, you know, not had a reason to, but now they're going to vote on it and they need to understand what's going on. So some of the other people, names of celebrities, you know, there are certainly people of celebrity status who have felt a very close connection to extraterrestrial civilizations through their sightings of UFOs. And that means, you know, Michael Jackson, John Lennon, Mick Jagger, Muhammad Ali, even Elvis Presley was one of the more prominent celebrities that had felt a very, very close connection. And I believe he had described to a friend that he had some contact from an early age that told him what his celebrity status would be later on.
Well, I'm sure the list is endless. And then there's also the people that have not stepped forward that may be doing so soon. When something like this, as you said, is legitimized by having a legal vote and people don't have the fear of being branded because they saw a UFO and they're afraid to tell somebody. And maybe this will help people come forward and give more information that they may
have.
It
certainly will. It certainly will, Arielle. And it's a very important point because even to me, people have been revealing stories of their experience, their contact, their sightings that they haven't told other people because they just see me as somebody that is, you know, willing to listen and is going to be compassionate and hopefully helpful in some way to help them understand. And these stories are coming forward from all sectors of society. And you could stand on any street corner in this country or around the world probably with a sign that says, "Tell me your story of UFOs or contact with extraterrestrial races," and people would come up to you and they'd say, "Well, you know, nobody's asked me, and you look like somebody that I can trust, so here's my story." And we would get this all the time whenever we would be collecting signatures. And at the end of the day, literally at the end of the day, I would just be shaking my head in amazement at what I had heard throughout the day just from people walking down the street.
Really, and they have no reason to make this stuff up. They're probably relieved to have someone to tell.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And even in civic organizations, Kiwanis, Optimist Clubs, Rotary Clubs, I give a talk to them called "Are You Ready to Meet and Greet People from Other Planets?" And, you know, a couple of years ago, that might have sounded like a really wacky title, to, you know, a topic to discuss. And yet they're very receptive. And in every instance that I can remember of the half a dozen that I've spoken to so far, one or two people would wait until their friends had gone, and these would be, you know, even the leaders of those organizations, and they'll tell me some story that either reinforced what I just described to them, or was some completely new piece of information that I had not heard, but that would also amaze me. I thought, you know, this is the president of the local Rotary Club has, you know, seen a craft or knows somebody that interacted with an extraterrestrial intelligent being. It's everywhere.
It is. And another of the reasons that this initiative is so important is that the people are being denied access to ET technology that can save lives. Isn't this correct?
This is correct. According to some of these whistleblowers, of course, there are many energy and propulsion-related technologies that are known to have been hidden by the government, buried somewhere, or given over to private corporations who have hidden that information. But the one that touches me the most, and I think touches a lot of people, is that Don Phillips, who was a former United States Air Force and then became an engineer at Lockheed Skunk Works, and that's the secret part of Lockheed Martin Aerospace, he said that there were craft that crashed at Roswell, that they did get technology of extraterrestrial origin, that they did put that to work. And he said, we have scanners that can scan the body, determine what the condition is, and even treat the individual from the same scanner. He said, we have a cure for cancer. We have scanners that can cure cancer. All right? Everybody I know knows somebody that's died from cancer or is suffering from cancer. And, you know, when there are these cancer awareness, especially breast cancer awareness events, the Race for the Cure or the Avon Walk, any of these things, everything turns pink. Everything becomes pink advertising. Everybody's got a pink bow ribbon put on something. And it's really in a very effective way to bring awareness to this. But the tragedy is that there are still races for the cure, and what there really should be is races for the truth about the cures that have already existed.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, and so that's just, I get very emotional talking about this sometime in groups, because I think even since he made that statement in December of 2000, that was, well, 9 years, over 9 years ago, and he was talking about a time even before that when they had the scanners and that he was working on. And every year for the last 10 years, there's been over 500,000 Americans who have died from cancer. Right now, it's right around 560,000 to 570,000 people a year, Americans die from cancer. And the entire population of Denver is just under 600,000. So it's like every year, an entire city the size of Denver, all the people die because of cancer. So at some point, you know, you have to say, hey, we got to do something about this. We can't be complacent. We can't just accept the word of our elected representatives who are under the influence of major corporations who profit from long-term cancer treatment and are not really putting out the cures. So this is something that's very important, and, you know, we created for the campaign and to address this issue a music video called Pink UFO. And that pink part just represents the fact that, you know, of cancer awareness and all the tragedy of people suffering and dying from that. And the UFO part represents the solutions that are known to have come from extraterrestrial craft, solutions to cancer, as just one kind of thing, and of course energy and many other things. So, yeah, we've been denied important technologies, important solutions, and we hope to break through that truth embargo and really bring the truth to the people in a way that we cannot go back to this denial and deception.
Where might our listeners go to hear the Pink UFO song?
They can go to the extracampaign.org website, and on the right side of the home page there's a link to that Pink UFO song music video.
That's great. And I might mention that the lyrics are there if you hit the little link that says more right under the on the right hand top corner, and then the lyrics will drop down. They're incredible lyrics, just brilliantly inspired, I have to say that.
Thank you. It was a wonderful team effort, and along with the lyrics is the original, a more complete quote by Don Phillips talking about his experience dealing with these technologies.
I know that people are wanting to know more, and they can certainly go to your website. There's a ton of wonderful information on there, so spend some time and explore extracampaign.org. This campaign, can it be duplicated in other places?
this campaign could be duplicated anywhere in the United States where they have ballot initiative rights, and those rights vary greatly, the details of what you need to do to collect signatures, to create a petition, to get it on the ballot for a vote. So if people wanted to try this in their hometown, and there seems to be some movement towards that, in the sense that Los Angeles Times blog poll indicated, this has been going on for a few months, that over 1,000 people answered to the question, do you think an extraterrestrial affairs commission should be established in your town? And over 70% of the respondents said yes. And so, you know, they're scattered all over the country, and there has been interest in other cities already. I think for the most part, at this stage, people have been interested in pursuing that locally, but they're waiting to see what happens with the Denver initiative,
right,
just to see how the people respond, and maybe there's some way to change the wording to make it more appealing or to provide more benefit to the public if it passes. So yes, they can do that. They can go to extracampaign.org. They can see the full text of the ballot initiative, and they can use that as they want to, either as a ballot initiative, or they could just take it to their city council and say, hey, you know, Denver pass, if it passes, they could say, Denver pass this. We can just make this very simple and easy and just pass it through the city council or the state legislature or some other level of government.
Right. Once it's been done, then it will lead the way and open the doors for a lot of other people who wish to do the same thing in their town, in their area. And this is such a perfect way to unite the people at a grassroots level with something so important. The fathers of this democracy decreed that the majority rules and the government follows. And it has been turned upside down now, so the opposite is true, with a very few controlling the masses. But this ballot initiative is the perfect way around that, where the masses have the power if they go through, if they do the work like you've done.
Right. And even the members of Congress who have been briefed on this topic of UFOs and extraterrestrial visits to our planet, they've commented to Dr. Stephen Greer, who's been heading up the Disclosure Project for many years. Many of them have just said, you know, we're sympathetic to this. We think that the information should get to the masses, but we're kind of stuck here. This is an impossible thing to take on. It really does need to start at the grassroots level. And I concur with that. And quite frankly, I think that none of our elected public servants really have the will or the courage or the right hormones to pull it off. They're always going to be looking out for their own interest first, and somewhere down the list will be the interest of the public. And before that, you've got the interests of, you know, the special interests, the campaign contributors, you know, the different voting blocs that are supporting that candidate. So really, I think this is our task, and all the indications are that the intelligence of the universe is agreeing with that, because things will happen in Denver. Things, very important breakthroughs will be made, and that, I believe, will trigger a breakthrough in this whole, and it certainly changed the dynamic of the discussion, and then that will, I would say, filter down to the federal government, because we the people, as James Madison said, the people are the only legitimate fountain of power, and it's from them that all the other powers of government are derived. So what you said is true. You know, it's really the power is from the people, and it's gotten turned upside down. So hopefully this will give that a nudge in the right direction.
Well, God bless you for having the courage to go out there and be the first one to do it, and everyone else is kind of, you know, standing behind you, like, go, Jeff, go. And then if you're okay with it and Denver passes it, then it'll happen in other places. But speaking of other places, have you found that in other countries outside of the United States, they have a different perception of extraterrestrials?
Yes, especially in Europe. Well, many other countries outside the United States have already released their UFO files, and the United States is one of the last holdouts. But For example, X Times magazine in Italy, which is put on the stands next to People magazine and Time, you know, those kinds of other popular magazines, they did in their February issue of this year a 6-page article on the Denver Ballot Initiative. And it included the entire text of the initiative, which fills up about 2.5 legal-sized pages. They put that in. They put in the open letter to President Obama that I wrote and submitted on New Year's Eve of 2009. They had some large pictures. They really did very good coverage of that. And a video was done last week with interview with international journalist Paola Harris. And that video is going to be sent to Europe, especially to Denmark, Sweden, and Germany, so that their exopolitics groups can translate that, put subtitles on the video, and then share that with their populations. I've gotten responses from Australia. One woman wanted to try it in a city in Australia. I've been interviewed in Europe and South Africa, and there's certainly interest in Russia and India. All over the world, there's interest in this topic. And many have gone much farther than the United States in disclosing what is known. So, you know, there is interest. This is being watched worldwide. And I believe that in the coming months, probably around June and July, certainly, there's going to be even much closer attention paid to what happens in Denver. This is being closely watched.
And the ballot will be voted on in August of this year.
Yes, the election will be August 2010. People will actually start to vote by mail as much as 3 weeks earlier than that. So by the time of August 10th, most people will have already voted. And then if we have polls in Denver, nowadays it seems it's going towards an all mail-in ballot, then it'll all be done and we'll know the results the next day probably. So, you know, it's a unique kind of situation because a ballot initiative does not have to follow the same rules as candidate campaigns. There are really no limits on the amount of money that a person can contribute to a ballot initiative, and it does not matter where they live in the world. Individuals can donate anywhere in the world, and we've gotten a few donations from Switzerland and Spain and Hong Kong, and could use a lot more because what we want to do is create a document that contains a lot of the whistleblower testimony from many of these high-ranking military officers, people in the intelligence organizations, as government contractors, who are disclosing what they know, the secrets that they were exposed to. They're coming out with that, and we want to put the transcripts of that into a kind of a newspaper and just let every household, voting household in Denver, have a hard copy of this right in front of them so they can just see these real people and the comments that they made. And by the time they go through that, it's just going to be so obvious, they won't be able to argue against the reality that we are being visited. And then it's just really a matter of, you know, should Denver have this commission or not?
Well, obviously, donations are easily made on your website. Is this correct? And in addition to any financial support, how else can people help you if they don't live in the Denver area?
They can encourage their Denver friends and family to explore this and to vote for this ballot initiative. They can pass a link to the Pink UFO video, music video. Just watch it and share it with everybody because it contains a very, very important message. It really contains the essence of this whole campaign and this movement towards disclosure, and that is that our quality of life could be greatly enhanced if the government would just share what it knows about extraterrestrial visitors, their technologies, and it's just wrong to be denied this kind of evidence, this kind of technology that could benefit our lives and bring us into the galactic community. So spreading the Pink UFO music video around is definitely one of the biggest, because if that goes viral and is seen by millions of people, that in itself becomes another news item and is an indication of the global interest in this topic.
It's going to get to the point where the social, cultural pressure and awareness is so big and prevalent that denying that this situation has been going on for years is just, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, I
mean,
entirely.
You cannot continue to go on and say, you know, no, this didn't happen. Just, you would just look like a total liar. And what good
true.
Would that do? What good would that do at re-election time?
Yes. As in an election year, this is, you just hit on another part of this whole campaign strategy. The pink UFO video was created not just to spread around on the internet and be viewed, but to inspire people to show up at political rallies with something that looks like a pink UFO, pink flying saucer or something, so that whenever any candidate, we want to make this so well known that whenever any candidate sees a pink UFO, you know, floating as the moon or a sign or on a bumper sticker on somebody's shirt, anything, you're going to think, first of all, denying people pure chances because they're not supporting this of these technologies. We went in their face time they we want them to think, all right, that person believes that I'm lying, that their friend and family are dying in the face, because really that's where we should be, and we should be thinking, and we should feel that they're not caught.
You'd be hard for us to find one person who has not lost a loved one to cancer in the last 10, 20 years. And, I mean, it touches everybody. And when you sit and you ask, you say, you mean to tell me that the government, that, you know, that my mom would still be alive? Oh.
My soulmate.
Yeah.
My young child who didn't have a life.
That is so powerful. I'm reeling here, so give me a minute to come back. Well, apart from the obvious, have you met with any challenges that maybe you didn't expect?
You know, people that want to mess up the whole campaign will just inject something that's totally outrageous even into a true story, just so that people say, oh, well, I almost was ready to believe that story until I heard this thing, and now I just have to step back and ignore this whole story. But, you know, the important thing is to get it out in front of people, and this issue is really the biggest thing that humanity's ever faced, and I can't imagine one that's bigger than this ever coming up in the future. But it's time, and everybody will have their own threshold of belief and acknowledgement that we're being visited by these extraterrestrial and intelligent races. So there's an accumulation of evidence, really going back to the courtroom trial. What people are being presented is evidence. There's really, you know, rarely anything that is considered to be absolute proof. It's an accumulation of evidence, and at some point that tips the balance for a person. And they say, okay, I give up. Let go of my previous ignorance and accept that this is a reality that I have to face now. And again, that won't happen for everybody at the same time. I believe that it will happen for enough people this time that this ordinance could actually pass. But it's not uncommon to, even for legislators, to reintroduce the same bill year after year until it passes. I think it's pretty much a one-time thing for me. If they're, you know, I have to get on with taking out technologies. I do think this has a chance to pass.
Well, whether or not the ballot initiative passes this time around, you must know that you've already won. You've achieved your goal of getting people to talk, the recognition of the subject, of a topic that people need to be discussing. It's already happened. So you have to feel good about that.
It's true. Yes. If we didn't do anything at all from this day forward to the election, I'd still be completely satisfied because it's on the ballot. I know it's going to engage the people on a very personal level. And this paradigm shift we're entering into is very personal.
Well, you're right. And every person listening to this show now has an opportunity to do something to add their energy to this project, whether it's passing around the pink UFO video or going to extracampaign.org, telling their friends in Denver, and just be more outspoken about the presence of extraterrestrial beings here. You can write your stories in blogs if you've had encounters. Add comments anywhere you're on the internet and there's a place to make a comment about an extraterrestrial subject. Make a comment. Get the conversation started. Now I'd like to pass the ball to Lavendar.
I don't really have a question. I just want to have a confirmation of his work and how courageous I think that he is for stepping out and doing what he's doing. And I also would like to say that, you know, I did do your astrological chart, and once I looked at who you were in the chart and I saw the star markings, it just gave me further validation on how that I really needed to help you, and that's why I wanted you to be the one that launched our first radio show.
Thank you. I'm very honored for hearing that confirmation and for being invited to be on the first show. It's an important show that I hope grows exponentially week by week or however often you're having the show, and that it reaches people all over the world.
Thank you.
Lavendar and I want to thank you so much, Jeff, for spending this spring equinox with us. I know the Ballot Initiative has become world news and it takes a lot of your time and energy, but it couldn't be in better hands. And you have our full support. So happy first day of spring.
And you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please join us next week for Starseed Radio Academy right here on Blog Talk Radio and see what Lavendar is going to bring out of the vault. Until then, happy first day of spring, and I hope it makes you as glad as I am. Bye-bye. You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.